Okay, so we begin this week continuing in the discussion of the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh. Perhaps we'll finish it this week, or maybe one more week. The goal is that I like to use different points that the Simchas HaNefesh talks about a little bit, says some interesting point about it, and then just speak about it a little bit. The topics that I will speak about are not, I'm not trying to speak to complete, to speak about the topic in its entirety, because that is impossible. Some of these topics could take many, many hours to speak about, and that will bore the audience. Certainly, it's not bad enough to speak about it for a few minutes. So we'll stick to a few minutes on each of the topics. We'll see as many of the topics as we could get. If we do not finish with it this week, we'll finish it next week. The first topic, just as a small continuation from last week, we mentioned that there's a discussion about shaking during davening, shaking during learning, shaking during Kriyas HaTorah. We try to trace some of the early roots of where it came from. Let's say in the times of the, it's unclear what was going on in the times of Chazal, if they did chuckle, if they didn't chuckle. We mentioned the controversy. We mentioned that from Shmuel HaNogid, we went through some. We just quoted some of the Rishonim, some Achronim about it. We mentioned that at the time of the Hasidic movement, this was a great controversy. That some of them they did very strange, had strange behavior during davening, and one of the things that they had, one of their strange behaviors during davening was they chuckled intensely and they did cartwheels and all types of things. And this was one of the many things that the Litvish Gedolim came out against. Today, it's not found, it's definitely not as common to find, at least in Hasidic circles, crazy chuckling. It could be in some, there are, but as a whole, there it's not. Just to mention, being that the first week I quoted from the Malma the Talmidim, just to mention that he also speaks about this topic of chuckling, but he talks about it during Kriya Shema. You mentioned that there's a whole discussion. Is this specifically by tefillah? Is it by Pesuka de Zimra? And all different sources about it. Just the Malma Talmidim. So I mentioned last week that the Yitzhak Zimra in the sefer Oilim Kimenayig Noyig, which is a very good sefer on many topics of Menhagim, he goes through very thoroughly. So he has a chapter about shuckling. I mentioned that he does quote that earlier than him, Shlomo Ashkenazi wrote a whole chapter about it. Also, he took a lot of sources from there, he writes, but he expanded on them, and that's certainly true. There's an earlier piece written about this also by someone else, and that piece has a few sources on it. It's a nice short article, but it was written over 100 years ago before, I guess, it does not deal with the topic as a whole, as well as either the Shlomo Ashkenazi or the Yitzhak Zimmer. Now, Yitzhak Zimmer points out in two places, because as we'll see in a second, he has two pieces about this. One is included in the Sefer Olim Kemenayig Noyig, that is about tefillah in general. But he has a specific chapter all about different things during Kriya Shema, let's say kissing your tzitzis, covering your eyes, all these different things. For some reason, it's not included in the Olim Kemenayig Noyig, and it's a very nice piece. It's printed in one of the volumes of Asufot, I believe it's Chelet Ches. And in both of the places, in Asufot and in his piece of Nagam Kimaraga, he does mention the Malmud HaTalmidim. And what does Malmud HaTalmidim say? Malmud HaTalmidim says, now what's interesting is that he was only aware of one of the places where the Malmud HaTalmidim speaks about this, but the Malmud HaTalmidim speaks about it in at least two places. Let me just quote to you the two places. He's talking about during Kriya Shema, when you're being Makabal Omalchus Shamayim. So he brings down as follows. He says, this is on page 148b. The chena kairik kriyishma shuhu kedeli yachtoi umeniya roishay l'sheish peyay sa'olam shu kedelam lichay lov l'kaba olmal chashamayim ubeliboy shevatevis sheyitzer le gufay adover mishagei agufay sheyachshav bedvar betelam be'ez kriyase. Basically, you shake your head to all the six directions. And then he says, okay, he says that, that's what he says in one place. Now later on, he says it much more clearly, and he says over here, he says, "Shama shetzarch la'arch be'echad kedei lekabel olam ha'shalayim uba'aretz uba'ar ba'aruchar sa'aylam ve'ein hamam lucha betnuas roish levada kemenhagi ha'pachus ha'yayim sh'anu manin roishenu tnuah chiyunus atcha harba palmim hi ena chiyunus ki loy nargish pa ein zama chavim ki tnuah hi nesakna al derech nanu alul v'chavim malchus shamayim b'shamayim oraz ha'aruchar sa'aylam Vana he betzir halev, my tails with Musa Rosh Halev, Dim Nerdim, Indaki and Gnus Gedel of Avon Plevi. And basically, and then he goes on, he says that people they shake and they don't have any intentions. They say, Kriya Tnu Hanar, Misachik, Velo Yetzi, Dover, Mipiam, Mshi Yetzi, Velo 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 Yetzi, Now, interestingly enough, Zimmer speaks about this. Just one reason that he speaks about this. Also, he writes another reason is in the Pirush Sefi Yetzira. Sorry about the view. It's not so, okay. In the Sefi Yetzira of the Rebar Tzaloni, he writes, "Yeshlan lahamlich b'shash anu mamlichon alenu ol malchus shemayim b'kriyishma." When we say Kriyishma, we are supposed to lengthen saying Echad, say alone, Kedei Lamlichoy, Lemailu, Lamato, Lalu, Ruchois. Vitzarach, Adam Latis, Nanu, Arayish, you have to shake your head. Ve'in al zeh ha-seidit, Karab Yerashim, Zabel, Chazbrachos, Shavivanu, Betchilas, Ha-sefer, Ha-itim. Okay. So he also mentions such a thing, and there's a discussion exactly what he's supposed to do, you're not supposed to do it, you are supposed to do it, how you're supposed to do it. That is beyond the discussion for now. Okay. Now. Okay, the next topic that I'd like to discuss is it's a pretty well-known minig, I believe, which is also mentioned in the Simchas HaNefesh. The Simchas HaNefesh mentions, he's talking about Shulchan Daimu Mizbeach, I guess, and he also mentions about the famous thing that a Shulchan, that that the Mizbeach was Mechaper. Very sorry about the view. One second, just have to get this mic right. Okay. So, he writes, okay, so the Tanya's Migdash, the Mizbeach was Mechaper. Now the Shulchan Shalal Mechaper Alof. Okay, from here, there are many, many Menhagim that come out from here. Daniel Schwarber has a whole chapter, at least one chapter about this in Sefer, and in probably some updates in later volumes. And that is as follows: that that the Shulchan is Mechaper. Now this has different ramifications. Okay. Now he goes on to say, "B'yamim kadmoinim ha'yibali batim chashuvim shayilam shulchan miyuchad alav ha'yumachilu nesaniim." They used to do chesed. They used to always have guests, and they used to tell them, "Mi'etzavim b'moisim lasis mizeh ha'shulchan ar lekfur lekachay imam lekever." To use this table for the aron when they were buried, to use it as the board on top, etc., etc. Now this minig, when he's saying this is a b'yam kadmainim, so there has been on this topic. So first of all, the earliest source that we know, or one of the earliest sources that we're aware of, is the Rabbeinu Bechai. He writes this in his Karat Kemach. He writes this in his Sefer Rabbeinu Bechai. From there, a lot of other, and from there, it's quoted in many, many places. Now, the truth is that there was a total of, there was many people that wrote articles about it. Just to list three, four of them. Again, Rav Shlomo Ashkenazi that we mentioned earlier that wrote about shaking during davening. Sefer Chikrim and Hagen from a Lubavitcher Chassid has a nice collection of stuff on a nice collection of sources on the topic. Daniel Schwarber speaks about in a few different volumes of his. He updated it later on in his English version of a sefer recently printed by Bar Ilan and Oxford Press called Jewish Life Cycle. And then you have it in, and you have Shmuel Ashkenazi, not Shlomo Ashkenazi, in his notes on the sefer Kava Yasher. He has a bunch of sources on the topic, and later on he added on a bunch more in the Alpha Beta Kavnita, the Shmuel Zehira. More recently, in the Sinai, there was an article written by a, I believe someone less than Mayer, Mordechai Mayer. And Mordechai Mayer, also, he's the latest of all these people. He's, interestingly enough, he was not aware of either of Ashkenazi's pieces on it, neither was Schwarber, but they were aware of the others, and so they try to combine, each one combines, and they add. Today someone could come along and make another article about it and get more sources that they missed and take the stuff from Ashkenazi, and it has to be done properly. It still needs work to be done, but this Mayer fellow put together a very nice collection on the topic, and none of them, even Rabbi Ashkenazi, bring the Simchas HaNefesh as a source on this topic. A few bring the Kava Yasher, some weren't able to locate it at first. The Kava Yasher, who we mentioned last week, is the father-in-law of the Simchas HaNefesh, who also speaks about it. He mentions people that he knew. But now the question is, what is the reasoning behind it? Now, another source on this topic that's not mentioned by any of the previous writers on the topic is a sefer Arba Kinyanim. Arba Kinyanim was recently, it was known for a while, but in 1997 was printed from manuscript by Moshe Beloi. He's a Talmud of the Ritva. I believe the sefer was written without any svarim. It's a very interesting sefer on many interesting topics. It has a lot of minhagim and ashkafa, kabbalah, all types of things. He talks about this when he's talking about the mizbeach being mechaper, and he says, "Lefikach," he says, "Arishaynim bali achsania ba'isa shulchan shem machilim laniyim ba'is tatirasam hayim mitzuvim lan shebeisam sheaslam arayinus meisam lufesfart." As a parenthesis, the editor, Moshe Beloi, I believe, writes, what's the reason? The time of the milsa ketamin with parakeitz mevarchim. Hayil v'savdu v'mitzvah nava b'mitzvah achritzo. Since a mitzvah was done with it, let us do another mitzvah. Now, this is a very simple concept we find, that we like to do many mitzvahs with the same object. The example that we'll be giving after Sukkot, they finish with the Dal Minim, what do you do with it? So a lot of people have a minim that they save it, and they save it until Pesach, and they use it to help burn the Chametz. Others use the Hadassim, the holy, they use it, they make some type of case for Psalmim at night, or they use it, at first they use it for the Psalmim at night. All this is coming from the same concept. And this is suggested already by this Ramesh Blay, in his edition of Arba Kinyanim. Now, as I mentioned, just one other source that some, I think most of them did not bring, maybe one does bring, this excellent sefer, which is printed, it's its own story how it was printed, but it's called Hagadol Miminsk. Hagadol Miminsk is about Rabbi Huda Leib Proman. It was written by Mayor Halperin. The significance of who this Mayor Halperin is that, as opposed to many other books of Gedolim, it was written by someone that knew intimately the author, the Minsk Gadol, known as the Minsk Gadol. And it's a fascinating book. Perhaps we'll be able to discuss it in a later share, I'm not sure yet. But it's full of interesting things. One of the things is he talks about that his father, the Minsk Gadol, told this Mordechai Halperin that my father, when he died, he told me, he said, one of the things, please do for me, es aroini yasam mishulcha melachti, v'hu eide ki be'amuna avalti alav kol yomai hayisi ubekape loidavak me'um mishel achirim. I was very machin of business, I did not take from other people, and please use it for my burial. Okay, as a footnote over here, this Mordechai Halperin, this Meir Halperin, he brings down this Rabbeinu Bechai, that this is all done, and he writes also that V'chein Ra'isi in Kovne, that also a similar thing, that a tailor was makbid to do such a thing. Okay, but this source, some, I think most of them don't have it, maybe one or two of the articles do have it. Now, what is this? Back to the concept, we're explaining that the reason for it is Hayo V'Saba Mitzvah, the Mitzvah is done with it. So this is the Mahalach that not only that Moshe Bleu goes with, there's also Daniel Sperber in his Menhagei Yisrael and in his other place that he deals with it, he also goes with this similar concept. Now, interestingly enough, we find this for many different things. Just to elaborate a little bit more on what I said, I think I quoted in a previous share that there's a Sefer Menhagei Kilus. It was a Sefer Menhagei Kilus that was printed recently. It was printed by a good friend of mine, Rabbi Yechiel Goldberg, excellent work on Menhagim of Matzah Starf and the seven Kehilas around it. This Sefer, so far it's two volumes, eventually it's going to be another few. He's working on it. By the Menhagim of Sukkos, what he did was that he first, on the top, he has the Menhagim of Matzah Starf and the Sheva Kilos. The bottom is he elaborates a little on each of them, sometimes he has pages and pages, with sources upon sources of on the Menhagim on top to show the earlier sources. He did incredible research. He has a lot of new information on the topics. He comes to this minig that they had, also that they would on Sukkos, after Sukkos they would save it. They would save the Dal Minim, the lulav and the lulav, I believe, and maybe the hadassim and the aravis, and they would use it for Pesach. And he writes, I didn't find any sources. It's very strange, because as I mentioned, he did excellent research in general, and here he does not bring down anything. For starters, just to mention some of the people, in the Rishayim we find there was a manuscript of the Rekeach, which was a drush of his on Pesach. It was discovered relatively recently, but it was printed in an excellent edition by Professor Simcha Emanuel by the Mekitzer Nedamim Company 2-3 years back. There he writes that my family minig was Minig Zikni, Rav Elazar ben Rabbeinu Kolayim es Hazaken, Shayyusayr Hamitzay ba'atzi lulavim ba'anfei Shabbos. Bechein Minichani, Rav Elazar Yaakov Akayin, and he brings down the other places about this, other sources of similar things, sources in other Rishayim that they also did the same thing. There's a Sefer, not so well known, called Sefer, in certain sources, certain places called Sefer Hasidim. The real name is, I think, Sefer Amaskil. It was written by Rav Moshe ben Rav Elazar HaKayim. He was a nephew of the Rush. The Sefer was printed a few times, is virtually unknown. Printed under the name, usually Sefer Hasidim, HaChadash, I think. Recently was printed in edition in about 3-4 years back. Maybe 5 years back. The editor did check with manuscripts, but he did not do all that good of a job. Barely put any comments, barely did any work on the Sefer. After the Sefer came out, a good friend of mine, Rabbi Honig, wrote an article, extensive article on the Sefer in Yerusha Senu Chelik Aleph. Excellent job. Hopefully he'll eventually put it into a complete critical edition of the Sefer, with all the footnotes and hopefully many more. Now, what's significant is that in this Sefer Hasidim, it's full of halachas. It's mostly halachic work. Menhagim, very interesting work. He also talks about this thing, of using certain things twice with a mitzvah. He has it a little differently. Now, it happens to be this piece might not even be from the nephew of the Rush. It might be one of the editors put it in. That's also a different discussion which Rabbi Honig deals with in the Sefer. He writes as follows. This is what the Sefer Hasidim writes. Asiti ha'sragim shali lekata lekaris ima bris. Begam kata lematzah l'sachem tefillin l'tfar l'mitzvah. Mitzvah gareris mitzvah. The same tchar toiv v'chol ha'boitlim v'shimcha v'emes the same shalkein imam. So they used it for other mitzvahs, and so he also writes this concept. One second. Okay. Now, Daniel Sperber, as I mentioned in his book, The Jewish Life Cycle, he talks about it. He brings different gedolim. They all bring different gedolim that their table. Not we mention sources that the rich people, the tables that they did chesed with the aniyim, they put. He mentions other sources that it wasn't for that. It was that they used the tables that they learned on. There's many sources for that. Now. So in the chapter, it's chapter eight in section two, the section about death, called the construction of the coffin in the cemetery. So he has some interesting points. Just to mention two of them, he says that they found in many. He brings a whole list of sources for this. This is his special one of his specialties. Is that in the tombstones in Eastern Europe, there was bookcases. Or pictures of things lying on a table in many of the tombstones in Poland. He says it could be, it has to do with this thing also. He writes a different reason, is that we say in one of the Piyutim in Yom Kippur, that if we want the schusim that we have to go up with us, so that's why they do it. It's not because Hayil v'Sava b'mitzvah to do another mitzvah with it so much, but he does not come out so clearly if it's one way or the other. He goes with both possibilities. What I mentioned is that this mayor fellow he does not like this reasoning of a Sava b'mitzvah. He writes that. That we find much more common, where this minig is not so common. What I mean is, it's much more common that people burnt their chametz. He likes better the reason of a melitz. He does not buy into this. He says that it's not true that we find that we do not find so common. Yeah, there's a list of people that did this. Some rich people used it to show that they buried. They used the table that they worked on, or that they fed the aniyim, or that they learned on. But it wasn't. You did not see a widespread minig amongst the masses to do such a thing. So he does. But not so sure. You could say that. I'm not so convinced. That's the reason I'm more convinced. It's because of the reason of to do a mitzvah with something as many times as he could, so that you don't. First of all, we do find that many people did do it. You know, combined the lists of all the people that wrote about it, it comes out to a nice extensive list over generation time and onwards. So I'm not convinced one way or the other what exactly is the reasoning for this topic. Okay. Now, on to the next topic. Again, moving on with death. There's the Simchas HaNefesh talks about all types of miracles, and he brings all types of stories. One of the stories he talks about is a famous story: is the burial of the Rambam. We know today that the Rambam is buried in Tveria. Question is: Rambam was living in Egypt when he died. How did he get to Tveria? So, the Simchas HaNefesh brings down a known legend, which we'll discuss. This is what we'll discuss right now. That he it seems that he had a tava, and after in the tava he said, so after his death, he should bring me to Eretz Yisrael. When they were bringing him to Eretz Yisrael, Gazlanim came, and they tried to take it. They couldn't. They couldn't lift it, even 30 people in the legend. When they saw this, they realized there's a holy person, and they let it go, and they left. And he was buried in Tveria. Okay. This is the story that's found in the Simchas HaNefesh. Today, until it's pretty much accepted, that he's buried in Tveria. Now, in 1935, a polemic, a controversy erupted about, I guess it was around the time one of the, you know, every time the yard site, A of the Rambam, let's say 800th yard site, so they do this. There was a collection of articles was written on the topic of the Rambam. In the collection, there was an article, I think that maybe the articles were written even earlier, but they were in the Haaretz of that time. And there was a fellow, a famous professor at that period of time, named Aaron Kaminka, and he wrote a whole article, maybe two articles, that based on all the sources that people say that the Rambam is in Tveria, it's absolutely false. There's no good evidence that he's there. Where is he? Doesn't know. In Areshet 6, this is one of the, it's a collection of articles printed many years ago by Maestro Cook in six volumes. So volume 6, I guess professor or librarian Danzig, in his, was also an expert on Rambam, he organizes very clearly what Kaminka's problems were. One of the problems was that that people claim that the Kaftan of Ferach, which is a pretty early source and a very important source, as we'll see in a second, does not make any mention of the Rambam being buried. And they claim that the people that said that the Rambam was buried in Tveria used the Kaftan of Ferach as a source. But he says he doesn't. There's no such thing. He doesn't say that. Another problem of his was that Rav Avraham and Rambam doesn't make any mention of this. And he has a whole list of problems. He was coming to argue on a bunch of different articles that were written by various experts that were claiming that the Rambam was actually buried in Tveria. Now, this is not even discussing the legend, how he got there. This is assuming he is there. How is it true that he's there or not? How early do we know that he's there from? The second question which we have to deal with is, how early is the legend of the Ganavim trying to steal it and everything, and how it got there? That's the second thing. Now, Simcha Asaf, in an excellent article that appeared a few times also in this volume of Haaretz, he took apart all the points of this Aaron Kaminka, and he, first of all, he shows that the Kaftavah, one of the things is he says the Kaftavah certainly does say it. We have it, it's on this sources over here, it's in the bottom of the page. So we see that the Kaftavah. Now, what's the Kaftavah specifically does say that Rambam was buried in Tveria. Now, what's significant about this is the Kaftavah Farach wrote an excellent work, extremely important work, all about it. It's just about 50 chapters. Recently, it was printed in a critical, somewhat critical edition, based on, I think, even some manuscripts with some nice footnotes and three very nice volumes. Over the years, there were different editions of the Sefer. Most notably was the work of Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlow, Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perlow, famous for his work on the Rasag, which is basically a few, the Rasag wrote maybe a few pages about the mitzvahs, and he turned it into three massive volumes, each volume hundreds and hundreds of pages, where it's incredible his breadth of knowledge, his depth of knowledge. He was in command of all the literature at that time, all the Rishonim, new Rishonim, old Rishonim, everything, Achronim, and it's an excellent work. And one of the works that he started to work on after the Rabbi, after he worked on the Rasag, was the Kaftavah Ferach. And he died. It's not clear if he finished it. It sounds like he did. Part of the manuscript did survive and was printed by Meister of Cook a bunch of years back. It's again excellent work on Kaftavah Ferach. He goes into many, many topics, from one topic to the next also, but he was only on five chapters. Of the 50 chapters of the Kaftor Ferach. Now, as I mentioned, the Kaftor Ferach is very significant because it's all about Eretz Yisrael. What's extremely significant is that he explored all of Eretz Yisrael. He went to see the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and he reports everything in depth about Eretz Yisrael at the time, what he saw. Now, he writes that he saw the Rambam. So we see already at that time that he did not live that much after the Rambam, and we see it already at that time he is quoting that the Rambam is buried in Tver. The truth is that Simchas Rav shows that in many of the travels we find, okay, just to mention, he mentions even an earlier one, a Talmud of Rabbi Chimi Pariz. It seems he's somewhere pretty much a little after the Rambam died, he was there already, and he mentions in a letter that was also printed a while back that the Rambam is buried in Tver. Another point about it, in general, just the fact that Kaminka says, or Rambam doesn't mention it. That's a very poor argument, because we unfortunately do not have too much of most of what we have from Rambam. Rambam has not survived even today, where they keep on finding, miraculously they keep on finding different pieces and fragments and more, and they're finding a lot. Unfortunately, no one put it all together yet, but hopefully, I believe that people are working on putting it together. So it could be that eventually we will find where he talks about what happened with his father at his father's death. But it's not a proof based on the little, especially in the time of when Kaminka wrote this article, the amount of stuff that we have from Rambam was very little. So I don't believe you can bring any proof from the fact that Rambam doesn't say anything. Okay, now, as I mentioned, there's a second part. The second part is the legend. Okay, now the legend, the earliest source for the legend, or some version of the legend, is found in the Sefer Yochsen. Hold on a second. Okay. Now, the Sefer Yochsen, a footnote in the Sefer Yochsen writes, Matsasi bekuntra shemela aroin elekai harambam. The Aron of the Rambam, Shnas tof kuf salachay, the Mitzrayim, and they were crying, and then Rabbi Now, and then he talks about the death, then he says, "After Yom of Elul Eretz Yisrael, they took it up." You say people took it up. Upagu listim b'hem, ubaruchu ha'olim v'nicho aron. They left. Basically, they got scared, so they ran away. V'nicho aron sham v'alistim b'roisim ki baruchu rotzu lahashlich aron b'yam v'lo yochlu hakem aron. They wanted to get rid of this coffin. They wanted to throw him into the river. They couldn't. V'yesim yishleishim ish. There was more than 30 people. V'kivin sh'ro'o kach amu isha l'kim kadushu v'holchu v'vtichu es yehudim she'yachan l'moiches kaftzam. There's even a version here that it was better in Chevron. Now, what's interesting about the story is to be is first of all, it says they ran away. Who was watching the story? Then they came back, the Ganavim came back and told the Jews sorry for getting involved over here, and we'll make sure to bury it. It's unclear. This is one source, early source, on the Rambam. Okay, sorry, one second. Yeah, famous Sefer Shevet Yehuda. This is a Sefer that some hold is one. It's written by Shlomo Viraga. Some hold you cannot learn it on Shabbos, but many, at least on Tisha B'Av, held you have to read, because just to get a sense of what happened to the Jews all throughout the history. He writes, again, he's talking about Rambam's death, and he writes, V'achar shanim, not that it happened right away, ha'lilu l'aretz Yisrael v'al'oysa, he also writes the same story, similar to what they bring down, but he does not write that they ran away. Okay, a difference. So they were there, and then they saw they couldn't lift it, so they said, "Kivin sharol kach." Amru ishali kimu b'shalcha pizza macha Yehudim v'heim gam heim lavo isam. And the listim went with the Rambam's coffin to bury it. The guns of karv l'maris ha'avis. Here in this source, it's straight out that it's in Chevron. Zeh shamanu be'emes gomer. And this he writes, I heard this emes gomer. Now, mind you, this is much later than the earlier source that recorded in Kaftor Ferach and others, but it's just still something. Now, interestingly enough, another earlier source on the topic is found in the Sefer Divrei Yosef from Rabbi Yosef Samberoy. He also writes, Kfar Ra'isi, Adam Echad Shehayu Lo Kli Mali Da'ash. He writes that he writes that he was buried in Tveria. Now, when he's talking about this, he says, "V'shamati oim m'shashachu etzva shel ragloi." They found a part of his foot. Kilematzah b'yisa shavachach bo lechacham echo michach miyitzrayim b'chaloi miyilei kivimakam ploini minuch v'kach hoyev v'loka is m'sham v'kavru b'tveri imoi v'yir yoim makam koi dimatzah b'yisa knesset shel kalku. Okay, so it's clear in this source that he was buried in Tveria, and interestingly enough, somehow a piece of his foot got lost on the way, and then they came to someone in a dream, and they mentioned to him about it, and it was buried with the rest of them, but it was buried in Tveria. Similar versions are found in the Shalshalas HaKabbalah. Now, over the years, many different languages, many, many stories and legends were written about the Rambam. Of recent, there was one story which caused somewhat of a small controversy. In the Mishpacha magazine for kids, they printed, or maybe it's for adults, they printed a story about the Rambam in his youth, how he was a terrible student and ran away from home. And they had a whole elaborate story, and then people wrote letters to the editor, and the editor explained where he got it from, and someone even wrote a whole pamphlet of a macha against this story. Now, the source for that story, and similar for this story, was all over the years, over the centuries, hundreds of years since Ram died, there's hundreds and hundreds of stories and manuscripts in Arabic, Arabic and some in Hebrew, all about the Rambam, everything about the Rambam. A few years back, a fellow Yitzchak Avishur collected this. I believe the volume is out of print, about 10, 12 years ago. He printed this book called Shifchei HaRambam, where he collected from all over what he was able to locate, all the different legends about the Rambam. And he also brings down the story about, he brings down this story that we mentioned, discuss it with the Shalshalas HaKabbalah. Now, some of the stories seem to say that he got there himself, which that I'm not sure where the earliest source for that is. Another thing was that Rabbeinu Yoina was supposed to go visit to see. Well, another legend is Rabbeinu Yoina, after the whole controversy with the Rambam, where Rabbeinu Yoina came out very against the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yoina said he's going to go do tshuva, he's going to go, but he died on the way. It's another legend. It's unclear where he was going to go. You know, according to this, he had to have gone to Eretz Yisrael, but it's very unclear. He also brings down this legend and deals with it. One second. Now, he brings down that, how did Rambam get there? He brings down this legend that, on page 285, that a few years after the Rambam died, and he was buried in Mitzrayim, the Rambam really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't, he was in Eretz Yisrael before, and basically, he couldn't go before he died. The king did not let him. When he died, he told them as follows: after I die, take a camel. And after everything, you put me on this camel, and it's going to go to, and until where it stops. And that's what happened. The camel went until the city of Tveria, next to the city of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. And according to the legend, it's a very far derech, you know, to go by itself. I think it sounds like Talmidim went with the camel, see where the camel is going to stop. It didn't just like, it wasn't that the camel went itself. It had some type of kitzis haderech, you know, it went very fast in a very short period of time. Okay, and that's on that legend of the Rambam. But what seems to be certain is that we believe that it is buried in, that he is buried in Tveria. Okay, one other aspect that relates a little bit to dead people. As I mentioned, the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh is full of many stories. Part of the reason was he wanted to make it, stories helps always make it interesting. A lot of times professional speakers, they throw in stories to wake up, to catch people's attention, you say a nice story. And in general, also, just it proved his points that he was trying to bring out. In this chapter, where he previously was mentioning, right, where he's mentioning about different miracles that happened to different Gedolim. So he, as I mentioned, the one example that he mentions is the Rambam, how he got to Mitzrayim, and then he mentions a few other stories. Another story that he mentions is with a Ramesha Rabbi. He was known as Ramesha Rabbi Mendelis. A known gadol, we have stuff from this gadol, we have tshuvas of his, aguna tshuvas, etc., etc. Now, he brings down this very interesting story. He says, they held he was like even a navi. He writes the following interesting story. Pam achas, they keep the alive. They woke him up in the middle of the night, sheilich basic message, they gotta come quick to shul. They come. He went to Lakach Hashem Shamasha Imai. He went and he took his Shanish with him, his servant with him. It was open to the parish of Arayis. The Nechrad Me'oid, he got very scared. He figured that something wrong went on in the Kilo. To take it from Shehira, Yoyim Tziv Ludrash, he did inquiries. Mashiach, Yoyim Tziv Ludrash, Lacher, Hate, Vivakish, Adav, Yim Tziv, Echad, Over, Alisarish, she found that actually someone did this Isser, something to do with Arias. He writes that I heard this, they said this on him many times. Now, you see very, now this is a very strange story. He came to Shul, they found the Sefer Torah open. Now, it sounds very strange, but it's not as strange as it sounds, as we're going to see. On the list of sources that I have up over here, I bring down as follows. There's a very old, and we're going to see that it has even halachic sources for it. There's a very old, I guess you, well, first we'll use the word legend, but it's not really even a legend, that dead people return to shul different periods of time. They have minyanim even, according to some sources. Now, let's just see some of the sources that discuss this, interestingly enough. The Sefer Hasidim writes, Echon nirdam belayla bebeis haknesses. He fell asleep in shul, v'sagar ha'shamish. And the shamish closed the door. Bechatzei layla nar, he woke up in the middle of the night, v'roh ha'neshamais mutafim betalas. He found that there was neshamais wrapped in talesim, v'shnei bnei adar sh'adayim oindim b'chayim, and two people that are alive, v'seichem oisim la'yayam watim umesu. And these people, they die pretty much after that. Now, in English, this is ghosts. Sounds pretty strange. But here's an open source of ghosts, that there were neshamas, dead bodies, came, they were dressed, davening of some sort. There's not elaboration in this Sefer Hasidim. I believe in other places in Sefer Hasidim there's more elaboration on this topic. But here we see, and this is similar to the story that the Simchas HaNefesh brought down, there's some type of thing, take it for whatever you want, but dead bodies come back, dead shamans come back down. Now this topic is a massive topic. It was recently dealt with a very good friend of mine, Yaakov Stahl, in the journal Yerusha Seinu, Volume 3, has a 50-something pages where he traces this through Rishonim, Achronim, legends, all types of autobiographical accounts, history accounts of this topic. And one source that he brings is the Sefer Hasidim. Another source that he brings also is in Ur Zeruah. Ur Zeruah writes, Kam shamati b'shem Abida Chasid. Sha'amar, the gun be Maisa Chayrif in the winter, Shaykar Gadol, where it's very cold, Mutav Sheikh Levayis, Aysam Jen Mabushim Hedev, Aysam Bishmach Shalakash Baruchu. Now, he writes, Vani Hakart Yehudi Echad Mivermais, Vayakar Yisra Rabunim, Vayizakim Vakaiber Mason, Shamati Alnachim Alamis, Shapamachas, this guy was a guy that dealt with dead bodies a lot. Hishkim Levesa Knesses, he came early to Shul, Vera Adam Echad Yeshiv Levay Mesa Knesses, he saw someone sitting, Vereshi Ketzashel Savim Shakarin Tepel, Oblation Kvan Kvanti, Vinispachid, Kesavar Shu Sheit, Vikar Ramalai, Vichi Enu Complain Shemes Atta, Vikar Ticha, aren't you the guy that I just buried, Ramalai Hin, Amalai Behechata Baisa, Aila, how are you here? Amalai Hated Adma Aid, Amalai Mazachiti Yeshacha, Valai Atta Isa Adam Kaldu, Amalai Rak Baisa Schusha, Yisi Ana Baruchu, Bakal, Naim Bebasic Nesses, Vizchus Ze, Viani Beganadim, Achavna Isa, Vizelacha, Simon, Shani Hu Hamadabar Lacha, Kitir, Biyad, Beis Yad, Chilku, Shakari, Shakaratili, Kishavashtani, Atachrichim, V'sha'aloi mazeh shebereishcha v'anei heim asavim shebegan Eden. Basically, in short, the story was that a fellow who was in charge of burying people in the town came one day early to shul. He sees a person there, and he had grass on his hair, and he sees him sitting, and he looks at the guy, and he's like, oh my gosh, I just buried you. How are you here? So he said, he asked him, he said, are you the person I just buried? He says, yes. He says, how is it going? How's it going over there? It's going very good. He goes, what do you mean? You're just a plain person. What do you do so good? He said, I answered, Baruch Hu Bekol Na'im Bebeis HaKnesses. That's why I got in, and that's this grass that you see. Now, says the Arzaruah, Kasafti Ani HaMechaber Eilu HaMaisim Kedei Sheyira Yir Shemayim V'yasam Aliba V'yir Mishpacha Shal Kodesh Baruch B'kol Na'im V'kavana V'yizkil Gan Eden. I'm bringing down this story not for the lead, not for the, that you should know about ghosts. It seemed to be a completely accepted concept that there's such a thing. Just that you should know that it's Kedai, it's worth it to daven and say things the kavana and proper loud. So basically, the moral of the story is to say Baruch Hu Bekol Na'im with a nice voice. The Machzor Vitri brings down also, and also on the sources over here, I bring them from Rashi as follows. Magen Avos Mefurish B'Shabbos, Tefilas Magen Avos Mefurish B'Shabbos, the Mishum Sakanta Teknu, because of a Sakana. What does that mean? We know that there's a concept as mazikim, whatever that means. So here it's basically mazikim go out. So sakana, the darkam of oil of Eisa Knesses, toich yud beis, come back, dead bodies. The rest of what you're saying over here, come back within 12 months of their death. The Chashu Rabban and Shalom Abbasar, the Nafket Tzibur, Ika Man Deloy Tzali Behedit Tzibur. Someone's going to come late to Shul. And normally, let's say, guy has a longer Shemon Esrei. So the. But Myriv is a problem. So they felt that they made something that people should have to stay a little afterwards so that this guy who came late will be able to leave with more people. The Ispalichivi is talking under the tikkunos for Shliyat Tzibur Baruchai. This is a famous thing, but the reason is, as you see clearly in this Machzor Vitri also, is that they come down. Now, the fact that they do damage to people is again discussed. You have to read this fellow's article. It's an excellent article. Now, I just want to mention a few quick sources about this topic. First is an excellent autobiography written from a few hundred years ago, only first printed about 15-20 years ago, but called Yeshman Chilin. It's an autobiography from, he was a big rav in one of the cities in Europe. His name was Pinchas Ketan Ellenbogen. And interestingly enough, he also talked about a fellow. He met a fellow, and he saw this guy had his fingers squashed together. He asked him, why are your fingers so strange? You were born like this, or something happened at some point in life? The fellow tells him, one time, it seems there was a bunch of people davening. People were getting ready to daven on Matzah Shabbos. We were saying the standard tefillos. Suddenly, the door opens, and a woman dressed in tachrich and ameis. We met this b'Seichel Pesach. Basically, a woman dressed in, looking like a ghost, I guess. The kids here, in short, there's a woman that died. It's his mother that died. Someone was just coming to play a trick on us. Make a long story short, someone believes that this is the case, and it's a person just playing a trick. He went to push the door closed. The door opened itself. And make a long story short, everyone was scared to speak to her. Except the boy who claimed that it was his mother. He wants to show he's not scared. Or he was just simply crazy. He pushed her. He says, from then on, my hands, my two fingers got stuck together. Okay. So we see that this is a story mentioned about 300 years ago, where I guess a ghost appeared. Just to mention three quick sources, we'll end with this. In the autobiographical account of Rabbi Eliezer, Eliezer Friedman, written about 100 years ago, he also talks about this. He writes as follows. He writes that there's a lot of different legends spoken about shul, and amongst them is that people believe the dead bodies come back to shul. Some people claim that they hear the mason. He writes that his grandfather told him that one time he heard a voice and crying from the shul. They went to get the rav to see what's going on. And they see candles. Everything's going there. They got all scared. And then they find a dead person in the Aron Kodesh. Everyone got very scared. So they saw that this legend that people said that there are dead bodies in shul, ghosts coming back to shul for that matter, is true. The Shamish was not as scared as the Rav, and he said, I don't believe that this legend, and he said, go back to where you came from. Seems the person got scared, and it was a person playing a prank on the Kihila. But you see that there was a widespread thing. Now these people, it's clear, were not aware of these sources. Again, there's another autobiographical book, autobiography, Zechronus Avu Bnai. He also, at least two places, once he talks about it, that he didn't believe in this concept. But again, they used to think that the mason take tours at night, especially on Shabbos at night. But he writes that he didn't believe such a thing. One second. Now, interestingly enough, that they when they talk about this topic, some of the sources, I believe, they write that the reason why there's an older minhag that they used to do is they used to knock on the doors of people, and they used to wake up people in the morning. When they got to shul, they also used to knock. The question is where this came from. Why? Now, some people bring down was to tell the mason to leave. That's a story. One last source, just to end with this, is in the Sefer. He was a Jew, Yaakov Reichman, who wrote a lot, but unfortunately most of his stuff was not printed. He wrote in numerous, all the newspapers of his time, and one of the things he wrote was a collection. He wrote a lot on the Ibn Ezra. So many years later, someone named Naftali ben Menachem, who was a very, very big fan of Ibn Ezra, and he wrote a lot, extensive on the Ibn Ezra. He gathered all the pieces from the various different magazines, many of them, of that Yaakov Reifman had written, and he put it out as a sefer. Now, in the front of the sefer, he printed, this Yaakov Reifman wrote a small autobiography about himself. In there, he writes about the small-mindedness of the people in this town. And he writes, he didn't know. First, he writes that what happens is the dead people come every night. They go to the mikvah. The Torah of Achar Leisam and Arukh. So after they come up, Yavuyo El Beis HaTfilah. V'yis'al Shom El Hashem Lum Atam Miyad Shol V'ikvah B'Torah. And they go to the... This is what he brings down. And basically, he's mocking the people. Now, what's very interesting is that this fellow, Yaakov Eichmann, was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he was an expert on Sefer Hasidim. Now, there's a Sefer Hasidim that says such a concept. I don't know why he has such a problem to say it. If you don't believe it, it's one thing. But the Sefer Hasidim says it, and the Arzarua and the Machzavitri, something was going on. One last thing, you mentioned one last point on this, and we'll end with this. The Sefer Tzvus Arz, which we mentioned last week, from Rabbi Yosef Schwartz, also all about Eretz Yisrael. Interestingly enough, he talks about that at one point in Hebron, there was a famous story where Avram Avinu came to complete a minyan on Yom Kippur. There's different versions of the story when it happened. Malchi wrote an article, I would say almost 100 years ago, discussing when exactly this happened, that Avraham Avinu came back from the dead to help a minion in heaven, because the question is, when in heaven was there no minion that they needed to get a dead person? But he brings all different legends, all different sources to explain and when this story happened. Okay, that is it for today. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week we will finish off with the Sefer Simchas HaNefesh and then move on. Once again, I thank you for listening and joining us. And we'll see you next week. Bye.